So we're talking with Bob Ganji, who is executive director of the Police Reform Organizing Project. I had first met Bob when he was, I guess, for almost three decades, the executive director of the Correctional Association of New York State, which investigates prisons around the state. So Bob, why don't you give us just a brief introduction? What exactly is the Police Reform Organizing Project?
It's based in New York City. It's a tax-exempt nonprofit organization, engages in research, public education, aggressive policy advocacy aimed at exposing and ending abusive and discriminatory policing in New York City. We particularly target up until this past 2 weeks when all hell is broken loose, following the murder by police officers in Minneapolis of George Floyd. We target the day-to-day abusive and discriminatory practices in New York City by the police, and that's a focus on quota-driven broken windows policing. The short explanation of broken windows policing is, as it's applied in New York City, is it targets low-income people of color in different poor inner-city communities in the city who engage in minor infractions that have been virtually decriminalized in white areas. So there's an extraordinary and stark racial bias in the day-to-day practices of the NYPD, which our view is feeds the likelihood that the NYPD in certain situations will engage in egregious acts of violence and brutality. And we've seen that misconduct repeatedly in the videos of the police response to the protesters in New York City.
Now, one of the major calls that have emerged from these protests is the issue of defunding the police. And I know that Prop and others in New York City are pushing to try to cut $1 billion out of the, I guess, $6 billion or so budget for the New York Police Department, which actually city budget gets voted on, I believe, in the month of June. So can you talk a little bit about the whole concept of defund the police and what you're also particularly trying to get in New York City?
Right. The defund the police hashtag and rallying cry has gathered force all over the country, somewhat to my surprise from a political standpoint, and not that long ago in terms of what Prop and others were proposing for the NYPD budget was to cut it by $1 billion over the next 4 or 5 years. And then there was a breakthrough politically. It really came from the, and I don't know, Mark, if you're aware of this, you might be if you're following what's going on in New York City, a large number of people who either still work for the de Blasio administration or formerly work for the de Blasio administration signed the letter, released it publicly. It's now over 400 people who've signed on to that letter. It was a scathing criticism of de Blasio's handling of NYPD issues and NYPD abusive practices. And that letter called for a $1 billion cut next year, in 1 year. And that broke things open in terms of what we at Prop and other advocacy organizations felt they could credibly put on the table. So now we're proposing, along with other organizations, as I said, a $1 billion cut to defund the NYPD. And the significance of it is it's our analysis that the kind of reforms that politicians often get behind regarding police reform, like what the state passed, I think just yesterday, was banning chokeholds and repealing what's known as 50A, a law that supposedly prohibits the NYPD from releasing the disciplinary records of cops. And Cuomo and other people, the press, including some of the police reformers, are touting these legislative acts as huge victories. Our view very much is these are not huge victories. These are tweaking around the edges. These are the kind of things that other cities across the country already have in place, Minneapolis being a prime example. Minneapolis has all these kind of modest reforms that were administered over the last 5 or 6 years coming out of a committee on policing issues that the Obama administration put together. And there's been no change on the ground in Minneapolis. Now the leadership of Minneapolis is calling for disbanding the Minneapolis Police Department. So getting back to the press to defund the NYPD, the aim is to begin to significantly reduce the power of the police department in New York City. It's because of their unchecked power that the police department and its cops are able to engage in racist practices, abusive tactics without any consequence, because the department is so powerful, no mainstream politician, virtually no mainstream politician, including obviously de Blasio, is willing to stand up to the department and force upon it the kind of changes that we actually need in the city. So the movement to defund the NYPD is part of a movement where, the following up on our analysis, the only way to change actual practices on the ground, the only way to actually end abusive and racist policing, not just tweak around the edges to end it, is to cut the budget, cut the number of personnel, cut the powers and duties and responsibilities of the NYPD. So for example, at PROP, we've identified where the funding cuts should take place. Disband the Vice Squad, which is notorious for violating the rights and well-being of sex workers. Disband the Peddler Squad, which for some reason has been assigned the responsibility of regulating street vendors. Disband the gang unit, the gang database, marked by stark racial bias. Get the NYPD personnel out of the public schools. Right now, there are over 5,000 NYPD personnel in New York City's public schools, much more than the number of counselors and social workers in the public schools. Remove the police entirely from the arena of dealing with people in mental health crisis. Right now in New York City, someone calls 911, the dispatch, because there's a person in psychiatric crisis in the community. The dispatcher has only one option, which is to send police officers. And we know there have been highly publicized incidents where the cops show up on the scene and their actions end up in either harming or sometimes killing the person who they're supposed to be helping. Not necessarily deliberately killing the person, but taking actions that lead to serious harm and fatalities. So remove the police from that function. So the purpose is to begin to move forward in a dramatic way, some might say radical way, to have a whole different concept of how we advance public safety, how we advance the quality of life for people in New York City without depending on police.
Now, you mentioned that the state legislature has been doing things like ending the chokeholds by the police and this 50A, which is used to prevent disciplinary records from being a release from cops, but that's really not going to solve the problems. You know, are there things, you know, and also the state legislature is not the prime funder of local police departments, it's more local government. But, you know, we have about a minute. What are some of the things the state legislature should be doing to rein in the police?
Well, what the state legislature could do is, and this would come from Cuomo's office, is appoint and authorize independent prosecutors to have the responsibility of investigating and prosecuting all allegations of police abuse. Right now, Cuomo has assigned that to Letitia James, the state's attorney general. She's a politician. She's not independent. She's going to be concerned, as all politicians are concerned, is how her actions are perceived by the public and how those actions affect her chances the next time she's up for election. What we are calling for and what the state could move forward to do is to establish independent district attorneys in local jurisdictions whose only job is to investigate and, where appropriate, prosecute individual police officers who engage in brutal acts.
We've been talking with Bob Ganji, Police Reform Organizing Project. This is Mark Dunley, Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.